afternoon. The Lord told me what he wanted me to share Tuesday night. Most people, that's the way it works for them when they minister. For me, it's never that way. I don't have a clue. I just go. I can count on one hand the last year the Lord told me what I was going to be saying before I went. Sometimes I have an idea, and when I have an idea, I never share what I think I'm going to share. So I just quit trying to have an idea. And I just, my preparation is my time spent with him. So that's how you're ready in and out of season. Your time spent with him is your preparation. Or you carry a textbook of knowledge around and you're just imparting knowledge. And really, I'm not into that. I want to say what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So if I'm walking with him, if I'm in prayer, like I was going up 83, I had an awesome time just talking to the Lord and communing and fellowshipping with God. I was heading to an outreach and with Global School, and I just had an awesome time with the Lord. And from those places is where you minister. That's the well that you live from. I guess it's the river, actually. And but today I kept getting this impression in my heart, this certain impression of just a tone of a message, and then it just finally connected. Because sometimes I'm a little dull with that. I was hearing God, but I didn't connect it to the night. And then I was like, Lord, I said, these thoughts are on your heart just to share tonight. And I was like, yeah. I was like, okay, sorry, it took a while. But he was pressing it on me for a while, and I was going through things, and the Spirit of God was speaking, and it was enlarging, and then it connected that, wow, because see, I'm actually out of the practice of trying to think what I'm going to share when I go places. It's fun, because I'm going to Ohio on Saturday. I'll be there 4 days of ministry. I don't even think about what I'm going to minister. There's a message in my heart. So I just get up there and flip on the mic, and we go where we go, and it just usually works out. So, yeah, amen.
I don't remember it not working.
Well, it works out good. So, just came from West Virginia, had a blast in West Virginia. They wanted to keep me down there. It was funny, man. They were like, we want to keep you. I said, no, I got to go home. But we had fun. We saw so many cool things happen. A lot of healing, a lot of encouragement. The body's edified. I mean, I saw people excited about the possibilities of God. Down there, they're really pumped because they got the 24-hour prayer vision cooking, and they're trying to build to it. And they're real into intimacy and just loving the Lord and ministering out of your relationship with the Lord. And that's the thoughts that have been on my heart all day today. Now, that's nothing they were teaching down there, but it's beautiful. And what they're saying is, they're saying, look, we need to be full circle Christians. You know, we're so funny. Some people are like, I'm a Levite, and they camp out in worship all the time, and they don't want to leave a room. And they're like, no, I just want to stay in his presence. And then there's people that just want to go out and evangelize, but they really don't want to hang around and get fueled and filled with his presence. And it's like, this is my thing, this is my thing, well, this is my thing. And it's actually, there's a full circle. There's a fullness of our Christian relationship that we ought to live from, you know. And it all should, one should lead to the other. And I don't know that we'll talk about that tonight, but I saw that happening down there. And then I went just with the freshness of the gospel that's in my heart, and it seemed to be really well received. And the righteousness message that came out, and the nature of God transforming our nature was very impacting. You know, it was convicting. There was things like, why would we spend all our time in worship and never allow or yield our nature to God to become like his nature? What good would it do to just attend 24-hour prayer and never surrender your heart and motives over to him so that he can have access through you? And we were talking like this, and it wasn't condemning at all. It was like, and there was tears, and there was a lot of stuff going on there. It was elders that came up and made some comments like, wow, this really put us before the altar of repentance, and man, this was really God speaking to us. Because I was trying to go, I had stuff in my heart, I was trying to go here. And I never got there. And I'm sure it would be good if I get there. I'm thinking we could go there. I never got there. I'm like, So I had to trust it was the Lord. And it turned out that, so this one elder came up and he said, it's amazing this whole weekend. He said, we could tell you were trying to say things, and you turn us to a scripture, and we never go to the scripture. I'd start talking, and we go, and the whole session would go by, and it would just go, but I was trying to go here. And they said, it was obvious to all of us that you had things in your heart to say, but God had things to say to us. So they took it, boom, to the heart, you know what I mean? Where I didn't just come with a message or a repertoire of sermons, you know, well, let me preach this one. You know, hey, this went well 2 weeks ago. I'll try it again, kind of stuff. Can of peas. We didn't give a can of peas, but we did give the gospel. So we had a good time. Leaving on Saturday to go to Ohio. So anybody that just prays about that stuff, thanks. We'll be in Ohio preaching the gospel and excited about that. Just the opportunity I have to run around. Glad to be here tonight. As I said, this is Joe. I'm going to open up in prayer right now. And then, Joe, I'm going to turn you loose. Okay, buddy? And thanks for coming, man. Keith lassoed you and just said, come on. He said, I don't normally do this. I said, well, you're here. You grabbed your guitar. Let's get you up there, man. I said, I'm all about it. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. And we just ask, Lord, that your word would just be so clear to our hearts tonight. That, Father, your love and your presence would just draw so near that you would embrace every one of us, Lord God. Let the confidence of your love come and overtake us, Lord God. Let the absolute of your heart be seen and revealed in our hearts, that heart that's towards us through your Son, Jesus. Father, let there be no mistake made tonight. Let us see your love, your nature, your mercy, your goodness, and let all of who you are draw us into who you are. And Father, we thank you for that. So we look to you, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to reproduce your will, your heart, your nature in our lives tonight. We're not here for head knowledge. We're not here to add another chapter to the textbook of ministry. We're here to know you, Lord Jesus. We're here to know you, Father God. And we're asking you, Holy Spirit, to reveal who you are to us and through us to the glory of God. We yield to you. We surrender our hearts, our minds, our attitudes. And we say, Lord, have your way in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Joe, that song on your heart, man, this is for the way to yield to him, man, right? You all right?
Yeah.
We love you, man. We're glad you came.
I appreciate everything you said about what motivates you and what you do is coming from the Spirit. That's the way I write songs. I mean,
it's beautiful.
It's not that, all right, what can I write a song about today? It doesn't work.
Yeah.
But this one came about, I don't know, a dozen years ago when I was arguing with a guy at work about the difference between the time that we're in and the eternity that we're also in. And he basically asked the question, well, just what is time and eternity? And I said, well, time is here and now. And that's what the basis of this song is. So we're here in the Spirit and now in the Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Here we are. You and me. Where we are. He has promised to be. Three. as he's promised to be. When we are, he can tell near or far. We are loved just as well. In his word, now we stand. We have heard I think the first time I did that song was, I'm sure of it, was at a prayer meeting. So I don't know if this constitutes prayer meeting or word gathering.
No, it's so beautiful. It's so neat that you ran and grabbed. And you need to be encouraged and see that you're led by the Spirit when you do spontaneous stuff like that. Because the message is in my heart is so relevant to the song that's coming out of his heart.
Cool.
It's just beautiful. And here you are, and you're saying you don't normally do this. It's for the moment. And he just felt impressed. He stops and said, come on, grab your guitar. And he said, I felt like he lassoed me. And who heard the intimacy, the connection of intimacy and relationship in this song? That we're not here to preach a doctrine, precept, a mere precept, a philosophy. It's all, your whole Christian life is lived out of your relationship with him. And God is real. He's a father. And we want to talk a little about that. So that was so like, yay. Think about through the tonight if there's something that you maybe would close in before we pray for anybody, if there'd be anything that would come in your heart. And I'll check in. And if not, just be honest. Don't feel pressed by that.
Sure.
But that was a blessing. Thank you, Joe.
I'm glad to be here.
That was just like so cool. Amen. Amen. Wow. Thank you. Yeah. It's, thank you, Lord. There's, man, thank you. You know, we talk about healing a lot. We talk about a bunch of things. And I think one of the, I use the term textbook. Does everybody know what I mean by that? There's not like a textbook on a lot of this stuff. It's a being led by the Spirit. It's a life that's led by the Spirit. And I think a lot of times we turn things in Christianity into method, technique, and we don't realize we're doing it. We give the how-tos, the three ways, and sometimes we take the life out of the relationship we're to have through Jesus Christ with Father. And you got a lot of do's and don'ts that creep in, and you know, we shouldn't do that, we should do that. And it's almost like if we're not careful, we're living here with a Christian confession this way, and God's here or something. And we're to be one with him. He's right here. And I might be guilty sometimes because I'm so passionate about the convictions in my heart, even with just ministering and healing and a lot of scriptures that are in my heart. But I want you to understand that it all flows out and can only flow out of relationship and relationship with him. So through your prayer life, your fellowship life with him, your communion with the Spirit of God is where the river flows from. You know, we're not trying to learn our ABCs. We're not trying to learn 1 + 1 = 2. I say in this, I used to say this a lot in healing services. I still say it now and then. You remember me, John, probably saying this a lot in the Wednesday healing services. I say the name of Jesus is not synonymous to abracadabra. We're not trying to find a rabbit in a hat. You can't use his name with power unless you know the person of the name and the accomplishment of the cross and the resurrection. And you understand that now he's seated at the right hand and his blood's in the mercy seat and there's mercy toward humanity. And the love of God begins to motivate you. It's what compels you. And this is a big deal, because if we're not careful, we're reading a bunch of books and we're trying to find ways to get breakthroughs, and we're trying to pray the right prayers and say the right things. And I've seen that a lot, especially with healing, where people are trying to pray the right prayers. And I've seen a lot of people healed where I didn't even really pray any prayers. God will just come and heal because he's God. Or you'll just see, you know, you just be free or be healed, or you'll say his name and he comes. But I just want to encourage today that every one of us, the door is wide open to relationship with the Lord. And there's a million things that want to try to hinder that. Satan is really afraid of us developing a communion with God, because we've been so used, whether we realize it or not, to listening to his voice and living by his realm of emotion. Okay, I hope you're all following me here. I'm not saying we're lost and we're part. I'm saying we've been trained up by the fall of man. The way that seems right to man has become prevalent to the average mindset. Okay? And only through relationship and through getting in his word in relationship and receiving God's love. I mean, even reading your Bible. I know it might, to me, I'm just going to feel like I'm rambling a little bit. I think I'll make sense in the end. We'll just trust it works. Watch this, because I know I'm jumping. Even when you're reading your Bible, you can read your Bible just to gain knowledge. Or you can read your Bible knowing it's the voice of the living God. You can read your Bible just to try to settle a matter. You can read your Bible just to be right on an issue. Yeah. You can actually try to support your pride. Read the Bible and try to find some. See, I told you so. No, God told you anyway. So, but don't just pick up your Bible and read it for information. Don't pick it up like you've picked up any other book in your life. Then you pick it up and honor it. And not that you're honoring the Bible. Honor it as, that's why I said that. I didn't want you to hear that wrong. Honor it as the Word of God. And talk to the Father. Welcome the Holy Spirit. Ask him to open up your heart to see what the Lord's saying and to bring a revelation. Thank you for loving me enough that you would send your word. You get what I'm saying? Where everything you're doing is through relationship. And establish that relationship, because then you'll learn to hear the voice of God. A lot of people say, well, God's not speaking. Well, John 14 says that when the Helper comes, he's not going to speak on his own authority, but that which he hears. Well, if he's speaking, somebody's got to be hearing him. Probably people that are open to listen. If you're sitting around saying he ain't speaking, you're probably not hearing. But I'll bet you're hearing something. Yeah. Oops. See, Satan loves us in the dark. God wants us to go over in the light. But in this relationship thing, you come out, you get in the light. I mean, what's he say in Revelation? Behold, I stand at the door and... Who's he talking to in there? Who knows? To the church. You'd think he'd be talking to unsaved unbelievers. No, in Revelation, he's talking to the church. You know why? Even in Ephesus, in the Ephesian church, they were doing everything right, but they left their first love. Now he's knocking on the door. Then he says, if you'll just open in, I'll come in and sup with you. Sounds intimate. Sounds like he wants to be like, you know, Zacchaeus, I want to eat at your house today. Come on down out of the tree, man. Quit looking for me. Quit looking at me. Come and fellowship with me. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I hope that ain't nobody's heart, man. If that's your heart, we'll pray for you right now. Check yourself. Oh, God. We are knocking on something else. There we go. Open up. I'll come in and what? Sup with you, but watch the prerequisite, not the works. Just the you have to what?
Open.
Any man?
Open.
Well, preconceived notions. You'd be amazed how subtle pride is in the human life. Preconceived notions, opinions, that kind of stuff can keep you from doing the very thing we need to do the most, and that's just open up, make ourselves vulnerable to Almighty God. I love closing a bedroom door when I know this is the thought that's personal to me. I close the door and I know nobody in the world knows I'm there but him. And this is real. I'm here because I want to be. Nobody has to know I'm there. He knows I'm there. And I love that. Can you see how I feel right now? I love that. I left that long enough to come down and say hi to you all. But I was just in that place a little while ago. And I just love that. I love closing my door. I lay back on my bed. I look up. I talk to the Father. Honestly, His presence, not that you always have to feel God, but His presence comes and just comes on me. And just He loves on me and bothers me. And I ask Him questions and I pray and I talk. I thank Him for things. I have intimacy with Father. It's a good thing. It's a strange thought, actually, to a lot of Christian folks. We're just trying to live good lives, better lives, different lives. And that's not the life. It's about being one with Him, walking with Him, communing with Him. So if we're doing that, then who He is getting into us. And then we won't live out of works. We won't just pray for the sick because we know we're supposed to. That's kind of dry, isn't it? Come on. You don't pray for the sick because it's the right thing to do, just like you don't stop doing something else because it's the right thing to do. There's no revelation of His love in that. If anything, there's the voice of condemnation waiting to hammer you if you fail. True? See? You'll locate your heart if you start entering into God in relationship in the sense of where it's pure. Like right now, my conscience is clear before God because no matter what anybody thinks, watch this, I like saying this, I know what motivates me. You can think anything you want about me. I know what's making me tick. I know what causes me to live my day. I know the why behind my life. And it says if my heart doesn't condemn me, I have confidence before God. So when I get alone with God, there's a confidence there. I can commune and fellowship with Him because I'm there because I want to be. I'm there because He's my Father. I'm there because He said the door is open, come boldly in. Okay? So at the risk of sounding redundant, I'm just camping here a little because I want us to know that we're not teaching these times and stuff just to, you know, go pray for the sick so the sick are healed. It should be out of the revelation of who He is. It should be out of our intimacy with Him.
Amen.
And our relationship with the Father. Okay? So I want you to... Let me see. I got my new Bible here, and it looks like a new Bible to me. I want you to go to John 6.
Yeah.
Good chapter. Please, John 6. So when I meditate in the Word, I'm just going to share my personal life and experience a little. Not that you're supposed to follow that or try to copy that. I just want to... I went to church. See, I can do this because most of my life I went to church and didn't understand what I'm talking about tonight. So I was 33. I didn't understand it, but I went to church a lot. To the point where I was church-wise in the sense of I knew how to go to church and get through a Sunday and be one of the guys. I was good at it. They would come to my wife and say, "You're so blessed to have him. You got a good husband, a godly husband. He's such a good guy." And she's like, she said this, "Well, you ought to just come and live with him for a day." I'm like, she exposed me. So then I quit going to church. I got mad. And I quit going to church. That was my end of church right there. Because I thought, wow, the cat's out of the bag. I thought I only went to please her. Because it made her happy if I went. Now it ticked her off that I went because I had everybody fooled. And they're all saying I'm great. And she had to live with me. Let me just show you how selfish and stuff. I didn't go for the right reasons. I went to church because she wanted me to. Okay? Now, I didn't realize this. But when we'd leave, I would subconsciously take that frustration of her expecting me to go. I would take it out on her. As soon as we'd leave, I was mad that I had to be there because she wanted me to be there. I would go to keep her happy, and I'm figuring, okay, oh, whatever. And I'd go, but when we'd leave, I would mistreat her because she was the reason I had to get up and go. You get it?
Yeah.
So my church attendance had nothing to do with my love for God. Isn't that a sad scenario? How many people go to church because it's the right thing to do? Here's my heart cry. You've heard it for a long time now. Where did we get this idea of go to church anyway? We are the church. Hi. So this idea of going to church becomes a stale religious thing where God's far away. And the bottom line is we are the church, so we are his beloved. We are his children. We are bought with a price, right? So what happened was, because my motives weren't pure and it wasn't about God, I went for all the wrong reasons. Who knows, people could go for other reasons. See, you just asked me how it was traveling around and if I like going around. I said, I love it. I just knit with this pastor in West Virginia. I just loved the guy. I just held him. I said, man, you're awesome. I just want to hang out with him. He loved Jesus. He loved people. We connected. His atmosphere in his house, they brought some elders over and some friends. And I was fasting. I told him I just was commissioned to fast. So I'm fasting. They had lasagna and salad. and it smelled so good. I was okay. But I was fasting. And she made it with, she was eating healthy, Martha. She didn't use noodles. She used eggplant instead of noodles and made lasagna. And she substituted the noodles, eggplant, for the noodles. And I really wanted to try it. It was like, so they said, it was funny. They said, so now you have a reason to come back. I said, I think I need a better reason than that. You can UPS me a tray of lasagna. So they said, no, we want you back. But honestly, the Christian love, the fellowship, because see, this church, they're into intimacy there. They spend a lot of time in prayer and worship and loving God. And he gave me a CD from the All Night Prayer Rooms, Mike Bickle's place in Kansas City, IHOP, and a live spontaneous worship CD from the All Night Prayer Rooms. You know, so I kicked it on in my truck and it's singing intimate stuff like, I'll just quote one of the verses: God's a lover looking for a lover, so he fashioned me. God's a lover looking for a lover, so he formed my heart. And I'm singing this stuff like, I didn't even know if I was going to drive. I'm like, Jesus, you got the wheel, man. I was just going. It seemed like I was on the road for 2 hours. And it was a 6-hour trip. And that CD just cycled and cycled and just singing all this intimate stuff, baptized my heart. Amen. And all this stuff. And I'm thinking, wow. So I'm in the home. And I got to see the body of Christ, the hunger, what God's doing all over. I met pastors from the area and saw there's just pockets of God moving all over the place. And a lot of them are saying the same things. And it's exciting to me, you know. But I looked in the house and I thought, wow, this is so the will of God. There was such a pure love and a communion and a breaking of bread and a fellowship. And it honestly was like I had to make myself go because it was time to leave and hit the road. I didn't want to. It was that awesome of an atmosphere. I think that should be just so normal. It should just be, but it's just so loving and so all about him and just talking about Jesus. And man, it was good. So here's these guys in John 6, and it's the disciples. And there's a bunch of people following Jesus, and he gets into this message, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, wow, how can this man give his flesh to eat? They're pretty flipped out, you know, they don't get it. And now we can understand, because we'd all acted the same way. We think sometimes we look and think, boy, they have knuckleheads, you know. Don't ever think that, because you'd have done the same thing. You'd been in the upper room weeping for fear. You wouldn't have been at the tomb. I know you're going to rise. You said so, Lord. I'm waiting on you. You know, you'd have been scared too. You know what I mean? And it's just true. And because now that we've known the truth, how many of us have known the truth and we've still found ourselves? Yeah. Right? Yeah. So here's Jesus giving this incredible message of the gospel, which I would love to go into, but John probably has it on CD somewhere. I'm not going there tonight. But he shares this message, and it was offending people. And they were struggling with the message. And verse 60, let's jump in there. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? John 6, verse 60. Many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself his disciples complained about this, he said to them, now this is a good thing. I'm just going to jump in here quick. You know, sometimes I'm learning this, that in our lives. It's not just my experience. There's a lot of folks that I know that can share this too. The closer I've been growing with Jesus, the more you change. You just change. And like the tendency just to complain and just to be presumptuous and just to have an attitude. The more you know the nature of God and understand the will of God through the Word of God, the less reactionary you're going to be. And you're never going to find fault with God, because no matter what's happening, and even if you can't understand it, it almost seems like you could find 5 ways where God had to miss it. You know better in your heart because you know Him. Your relationship will protect you from deception. It'll protect you from what I see a lot of Christians getting trapped into. A lot of Christians are weighing God through life, and it's almost like they're reading about God and then waiting for God to manifest what they read. And if it doesn't equal up, like, yeah, well, okay, sure, God. Like they're waiting for God to prove Himself or something. No, we need to submit to God, surrender, get in His presence, get immersed in His presence, a place of prayer, a place of fellowship, close the door. We're going to talk more about that in Matthew. But the closer you walk with God, the more He reveals His heart, His nature, His word, and it erases ability to ask certain questions we've asked before. It erases the ability to have certain attitudes that stumbled us before. Your mind can be your worst detriment, or it can be a blessing if you keep it trapped in the gospel. It's got to be worth something. Bill Johnson says it's worth something, or God wouldn't say renew it. It's got to be worth something, but we got to renew it. The unrenewed mind is a detriment to human life because it's embraced the lie, and it produces the fruit of the lie. An unrenewed mind is listening to the stranger's voice. Here's a good one on relationship. If you don't know you're the sheep of God, that doesn't just mean a confessing Christian, because there's a lot of people that confess to be Christians in His and listen to the stranger's voice quickly. When you know you're a sheep, you know you're His. You know He's your keeper, your master, the one that feeds you, sustains you. It's where you find protection. It's you're in Him and He's in you. There's a depth to being a sheep when you know you're His sheep. Okay? You've submitted yourself to the care of the Master. You're not just a confessing Christian. That's not a sheep, a confessing Christian. Come on, you can confess to be a Christian and live freaked out by fear. You can be a confessing Christian and keep your old unredeemed nature. You can go to church your whole life and stay the same on the inside. It's surrendering yourself to Him. Like, I pray things in my bedroom like, I totally trust You. You'll never fail. You're always faithful. You can never lie. You're awesome. Why wouldn't I trust You? You sent Your Son for me when I was lost. He was innocent. I was guilty. And Jesus, You hung there and died for me. You bet I'm going to live for Your glory. I'll just exchange with Him like that. I talk to Him like that. I'm into that. You know? And what happens is I get such a clear perspective of God that it protects me even when I don't understand. Who's ever been in a situation you just didn't understand? Watch this. And a situation that if you thought about it, you could almost found accusation against God. Or you could look at His Word and say, okay, where were You? This is what stumbles a lot of Christians, and they have this relationship with God that's... I heard Juanita Bynum say it once on this video that I had. Somebody gave to me. It was really powerful. But she said this. She said, the days of these trifling relationships, she called it, and that's just where she's from. So she said, where this week I'm in love with God because my rent's paid, but next month my rent ain't paid and I got issues with God. So me and God are on this week because the rent's paid, and next month the rent ain't paid and I got issues with God. And do you realize that when you put yourself in that kind of relationship, you're so deceived, you're actually tying the hands of God. You're keeping God from being able to bless you and move and even do, because He can't bless that attitude. He can't support and validate that mentality. You would call that a spoiled child in the earth, right? You'd say, why do you spoil your kids? And then we expect God to do that to us. You know? And we think, you know, we're going to wah, and get something from God. It's not about that. It's about humility. So here they are. This is an incredible message. They don't understand. Where is it? In Jude, it says that men will mock and scoff the things they don't understand. Who's ever noticed that the easiest thing to do when you don't understand something, and we don't understand it, it's human pride. You don't understand something, you go, oh, well, that's just ridiculous. Why? And you don't even understand it, but you have something to say. Just because you don't understand it, it's whacked or it's silly or it's... Maybe we need understanding, right? But it says, whatever a man can't understand or connect with or relate to, he mocks and scoffs. He puts it down. Why? Because it's a threat to him. Because pride says, well, if I don't know that, it's not to be known. And then, therefore, we put our heart in an unteachable position. Does this make sense? See, humility says, boy, I never even understood. How can that possibly be? Who knows you can ask a question without having offense and issues in your heart? Who knows you can be sincere without hypocrisy, and you can ask a question for understanding? Some people ask a question with, who's ever heard this one, and we've done it to each other. Well, if that's so, then how come? And you ask with attitude and passion. You don't care about the answer. You're actually demeaning the issue. Right? That's the degenerate man and the degenerate mind. That's the stuff Jesus wants to get us past. And we need to grow into that place. I'm telling you, I'm not making this a works thing. You'll hear my heart in this. If that stuff would start getting stripped out of our life through our relationship with Jesus, we would walk in such a greater confidence and see such more of a flow of the love of God and the power of God just because of the things we're talking about here. They'd just be moved away. Because they're the things that keep us stumbling. We've embraced them as normal because it's the way we've been since we were born. Right? I mean, Richard and Natalie might not appreciate me using their little one as an example, but it's inevitable that as little as he is and innocent as he is, that in months from now, he'll be old enough to know that he shouldn't do something, and they'll be telling him, and he'll do it anyway. And he'll even look at him and test him.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know. Now watch. Did you guys teach him that?
No.
You're kidding. You didn't teach him that? Then how would he know to do that? How would he know to do the opposite of his parents? How would he know to say no? How would he know to do what you said not to do? Because it's born in us through the fall of man. That's why every person needs born again. As precious as that child is, at some age of accountability and some point, everybody needs to come to the knowledge of truth and surrender and give their life back to him, right? But that's in the nature of man. So from the beginning, we were all brought up that way. And it's twisted. It's perverse. We need to face that as the church. And get real sober. It's good to preach about this because we've accepted a lot of things. We've become Christians and allowed a lot of things to just stay the same. A lot of times we become Christians because we just have a hope of heaven. We want God's blessing. We want more confidence that we'll pray and God will hear us and answer our prayer. Yeah, we're talking about you, buddy. You. Yeah, you. You big smiler, you. He's getting around. Whoa. Yeah, come on up here. The long you'll be preaching. So let's do this. Let's wrap this up in John 6. I want you to see something. Does this offend you? Verse 61, he says.
Right.
So offense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What's that word in the Greek? Scandalizo or something like that. He's scandalized, right? Does this offend you or make you stumble, right? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. Wow. The flesh profits nothing. I think we ought to pursue the things of the Spirit if that's the case. That's a pretty intense phrase. The words that I speak to you are Spirit and they are life. I'm going to say this as gracious as I know, and I don't want anybody to hear this in a hard way or a works way or anything, but what Jesus is saying here is the vocabulary that we embraced needs to transform. We need to embrace the Word of God, the words of Jesus. By your words, you're justified. By your words, you're condemned. I'm not preaching something where you're walking on eggshells watching every word. What I'm saying is in your relationship, your whole dialogue changes. In your study of the Word, the transformation of your heart, everything changes. You start thinking different and speaking different. As a man thinketh, so he is. So if we don't address this stuff and talk about this, see, the vocabulary of man, his words, his ability to be offended and react to what Jesus is saying, who would agree that he's the author and giver of life, he's the truth, nobody ever pure, and if anyone was right, he is, right? And he's speaking, and they don't understand, and they're offended at him and what he's saying, because they have the capacity to be. Now, I'm just saying that if we don't develop this relationship, there's a lot of Christians that still maintain that capacity, and it becomes a stumbling block. And 15 years go by of their Christian confession, and they're carrying harbored bitterness and hurt towards God, and they're still going through the motions because where else will I turn? I mean, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, but I don't understand God. And I've had people say, I can't wait till that day. You know, I got a few things to ask God. I got a questioner to do. And I'm thinking, friend, you are not going to walk into the presence of Almighty God with attitude. You're not walking in there, oh, so there you are. So you came out of hiding. I got a question for you. Come on. He's light, right? You walk into light, you go, oh. And you see, you comprehend, and all our foolishness is exposed in like dust. You'd be amazed how much pride and stuff is around, and we don't even know it's pride. It's just presumption, opinions, that kind of stuff. He's God Almighty. Who ever had an experience where the light and presence of God just came on you, and it was very humbling and very sobering, and you're like undone, and you're like captivated, and you're like, and I love those experiences because you just want to be more like Him because you understand, whoa, God is God, right? So don't be afraid of those experiences. I mean, get alone in your bedroom. But here's the deal. They had the ability to be offended at what He was saying, but yet His words were what? Spirit and life. Which tells you they're living by a flesh code, a flesh mentality. Okay? And it profits what? Nothing. So if you live by the flesh, it's death to you. But if you live by the Spirit, it's life and peace. Romans 8 says to live by the Spirit. To live by the flesh, the carnal mind is enmity to God. I'm not harping on this. I'm not talking to anybody specific. That's why a lot of times you see me up here because I make eye contact and people come up sometimes and say, you're looking at me a lot. Were you talking about me? I'm like, no! That's why I look up. I don't project on anybody. If I think it's you, I'll pull you outside afterwards and say, hey, man, I'm talking to you. But listen, attitudes are a killer. You'd be amazed how many people walk around with attitude. Like, yeah, right, whatever. Yeah, yeah. Well, whatever. Watch. Well, I don't really like him. Well, I don't like the way he's acting. Well, she just... That's the fall of man. That's degenerate. It's sin. It's not attractive. But it's how a lot of people are, even in the church. It's the fall of man firsthand. Attitude. It's the expression of pride. It's pride. It's raising yourself above others. Just the fact to compare two of you and say, well, I like him and really don't like him. That's not God. Everybody's different and unique, but together we make up the whole of Him. I used to say this in the healing services a lot because I get a lot of visitors. I'd say, look, you're in a new church. You ain't been here before. A lot of you are looking around. I said, please. I said, don't approve of the carpet, the painting, and don't try to figure me out. You'll be all messed up. Let's just listen for God and pray for the sick in a minute. We'll do well. But don't come in here like you're God's assessor and miss what's happening and walk in the parking lot and tap your neighbor and say, so what'd you think? Well, you know, I think he's a little goofy, or I think he smiled too much, or I don't know, it's all right. I said, you know, we go to things to assess what we think. What's that tell you?
Right.
Duh! We should be going looking for God, listening for God, to edify one another, to love one another, to serve, to pray, to bless, right? That's the real deal. So we got to grow in this stuff, and I feel right talking about it tonight. It just feels like, and I want you to know that we're not praying for the sick and preaching all this about praying for the sick in some mentality where it's something you've got to do and it's a technique. It flows out of the relationship you have with God and the heart of the Father that was proclaimed through sending His Son and raising His Son from the dead. So God's our motivation, right? The love of the Father is what's stirring me to love people. That's why I walk up to people. Because I believe in my heart God loves him. He paid a price for him. Jesus came personally for that person. I walked by a guy today in the mall, and I just walked over to him. I said, hey, man, what's your name? He said, Tony. I said, hey, man. I said, you are so bummed out. Something's making your heart so heavy, and I can't see what it is. I said, the Lord's showing me you're in a tough place. It's like a breaking point for you where you are so bummed out, and you don't know what to do. You're just... It's like you're in a funk kind of thing. Like, and he said, exactly, man, exactly. I said, yeah, I see that. And I said, you don't even have to expose it because God hasn't shown me. It might be just personal. And he said, no, honestly, I don't really know what it is. I just can't shake this thing. I just feel. And I said, well, listen, man, I want to pray for you. I just want to just call the name of the Lord, and I just want to bless you and just ask God. And I'm the one that approached him. Watch what he said. He said, no, no, that's okay. I'm okay. Now, he just admitted he was talking, but when I said about praying for him, we're in a mall. And he's like thinking, no, that's okay. I said, no, what do you mean it's okay? You just told me. I told you. You just told me it is this way. And I said, God showed me that. Come on, man. Just be humble and receive from God. I said, I want to bless you. I said, he's not trying to dish on you because he didn't even tell me what it is. I said, that's between you and him, but I want to. And he's like, so I didn't just back off. I persist a little. And he said, yeah, okay, man. So then I got to bless him and pray over him. And God still didn't show me what had him so, you know, but he was that way. And we touched it, and it was just good. So what made me see that, go over there and do that? What made me even perceive that? Because he's so valuable to God. Come on, you can pass by 100 people a day and not even think about their creative value. I'm not being mean, because we're just not thinking that way. We're pretty self-consumed without realizing it. We got our agenda, our day, our schedule. We got our own issues. Come on, the car's not even running right. Cut me a break. I got a lot on my mind. I'm serious. That's how we can be that way. And we can be walking by people that God created in his image, and he loves them. So wouldn't it make sense for us to get consumed in his love so we begin to see what he sees? Right? How else are we going to see what he sees unless we get inside his heart? Unless we allow him to take us there through a place of submission, surrender, closing that bedroom door. I'm going to talk about that a little before I finish tonight, just closing that bedroom door. It's one thing to come to a meeting like this, and I'm glad we're here, and it's right. The Bible says gather yourself often and assemble yourselves, especially as you see the day approaching. So it's a sharpening thing. It's an edifying, encouraging, keeping people encouraged, right? Edifying daily. There's something about breaking away. There's something about getting in a secret place, because that's your sincere heart seeking God. He said, if you pray only among your brothers, you got your reward in full already. Whatever you receive in that realm is what you get. Whatever you receive from others as something spiritual, whatever. But it's not paying off in the long run. You get it? It's in the secret place. And I'm learning this that, but actually, yeah, I just said that real humble. I've learned this a while back, but I'm learning this. It's all right for me to be honest. I learned this a long time ago. I don't pray because of what I do and what I'm called to do. I do what I do because I've prayed. It's a big difference. Okay? I've noticed that if I pray in the secret place and I meet him there, and he meets me there. When I pray in open, it carries a different weight than if I'm trying to find God just praying in the open. If I'm in the secret place being touched by God, when I touch somebody in the open, I see the impact of God touching them. That's a whole lot different to me just praying because I'm a Christian and it's my job description and I ought to go pray. And that's what we're not trying to accomplish here. What we want you to do is from the resource of who he is, go out and be a blessing.
And that's free.
Talk a little more, okay? So we're not under compulsion here by works and rules, and that's the Christian description. We're compelled by his love. We were talking about that Tuesday. It's the love of Christ that compels me. Because I judge this, if one died, then we all died. So we that live because he died, I'm preaching out 2 Corinthians 5, we that live because he died ought to not live for ourselves, but him that died. Okay? It says, therefore, we thus no longer judge any man according to the flesh. Even though we judge Jesus according to the flesh, thus no longer. So we don't judge any man any longer according to the... So that means we're called to see men by the Spirit and see them for their created value. No matter who they are, how they're acting, what they're doing, or what their attitude. It's all a lie. They don't even know. And we're called to love. Does that make sense? So we died because he died, so we judge no man any longer according to the flesh, because God's saying, I paid the price to set all men free. So don't notice their bondage. Look at them for their value. You get it? Look at them for their purpose, their calling. You get it? So the guy, Tony, on the bench today, if I didn't look at him that way, I could think, well, he probably deserves that. He's probably missing God. He's probably messing around. He's probably living in sin. He's probably messing. Well, no wonder he's that way. He's probably not forgiven, so he's probably living tormented and not forgiven himself. You can do that all day. be a Pharisee. Or you can walk over there and say, hey, man, what's going on? Man, you're heavy. Right? It's the will of God. Okay. John 6. Does this offend you? And he says, it's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak are spirit and life. So it would behoove us to what? Connect with the words of Jesus. That's why I like my red letter Bible. I don't know about you. I like my red letter Bible. I open my red letter Bible up sometime and don't even read a black word. I just read red letters. Not that I'm prejudiced. I love you, brother. But listen, man, I'll read the red letters. You get it? You see, I'll read the red. You get it? You know? See? Because I know it's Jesus speaking. You get it? And I want his... In Matthew 5 and 6, he comes and he does this over and over. He says, you said, but I say. You said, but I say. Some translations say, you have heard it said, but I say. Sounds like we've been listening by living by a different vocabulary our whole lives. Jesus came and changed the tune. So what are we embracing? What he has said, or are we still living by the way that seems right to a man? Are we still embracing former ways, former ideologies, former philosophies, the way that seems right to a man leads to death? But he came and said, but I say. Amen? Man, it's so good. So how do you receive the words of Jesus? You get alone and you start saying what he says and you receive it for yourself. I found this out a long time ago. I'd get in my bedroom and I found out that a lot of Christians didn't believe what I was praying was possible. And if they'd have heard me, they'd have tried to stop me or balance me or tell me I'm over the edge. Because I would walk through my bedroom and say, Father, thank you. I'm a brand new creature. That old sin nature is crushed and swallowed up and I'm filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of God lives in me. I'm forgiven and I'm blessed. I'm free. Father, and I would say this, Father, never again will I be swallowed up by anger, fear, stress, or strife. The ways of man are finished and the ways of God has come. God, thank you for blessing me. You've changed my life forever. I would just believe that. See how flaky I feel, right? Can you tell I've been in this place praying and God's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And the Holy Ghost then takes my faith, expression of faith in God's word, dare believe it's possible, and touches it with grace, and grace brings it to pass. Because who knows, you and I can't bite our lip hard enough to change. Who knows you can't just live free from fear in and of yourself? But if you declare you're free from fear and thank you, Father, you're my rock, my strong tower. What shall I fear? What can man do to me? The Lord is my helper. You'll never leave me, God, or forsake me. I have eternal peace and comfort in you. And when I'm believing that and praying that in my bedroom, see, that sure beats praying out all my needs and God's got to do this. And where have you been, Lord? Today was a mess. I thought you loved me. See, if that's all you ever pray and you're just self-conscious, you're using your Christianity to help yourself. And the best way you can help yourself is become what he's paid the price for you to be. So you start receiving the nature of God by faith. And you start declaring God's heart over you and that you see through his eyes. And it's your good pleasure to give me the kingdom. And I just stand to the Father with my hands raised as a sign of yielding to you. Let your kingdom come and your will be done through my life. And you slip to your knees. I give myself to you, God. I don't know if we're taught that, if we're taught to pray that way. I don't know if a lot of people have that experience with their door closed. We go to church, we pray, we kind of pray about what we need. We kind of ask God to bless our day. But how many people are getting face to face with him, having intimacy, you know, communion and union with God? It's really good. There's a couple things I prayed in intimate. I don't even feel grace to share right now. But I did at the global school and it wrecked them, but I don't feel like it, grace right now. It just doesn't seem like it's right. But
no,
it's just good. God wants communion, union, communion. There's an intimate word there. And he says, if there's any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Right? He says the love of the Father, the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you all. There's a communion with the Spirit of God. He's very real. Okay? And mm-hmm. Yeah, he really is. Okay, so Jesus' words are spirit and life. So you can hook up to the things of the Spirit by hooking up to the Word of God. So it's not always just a mystical Spirit-filled living. Sometimes we over-amplify it like it's a mystical thing. It can be. God can direct you, give you directions, turn the corner. There'll be a lady in a red dress, walk up. That's fun stuff. But the Spirit-filled life is just honoring, obeying, and being changed by the Word of God. And who knows, the Spirit will lead you in things. Give me that impression today for that guy. And there was some other experiences I had today. It was just fun. It was just all Spirit-led. It was just good. But there are some of you who do not believe. Okay? I would say a good sign of not believing is when you're quick to complain, mock, and scoff at what you don't understand. And rather than saying, I need understanding, we go, oh, that's just a bunch of, oh, that's just ridiculous. And that's a sign of unbelief when you just complain and scoff right away. Is that fair? A sign of unbelief is when you just quickly cast an attitude. We're not called to do that. We're called to seek so we can find. That's really hollow. So the door's open, right? Some of you do not believe. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. Wow, do you think Jesus knows? I tell people, man, don't ever live in denial. The only one you're deceiving is yourself. You just are. You're deceiving yourself big time. You know, don't put on an outward thing. You know, and just don't live in denial. Get real with God. When you're hearing messages that pierce your heart, don't act like it doesn't. Man, let God pierce your heart. Get alone with Him and say, man, I was really convicted when I heard that message. Man, there's issues and areas in my life that I don't think I've even surrendered or considered, God. I don't think I thought about freedom in you. I don't think I thought about nature change. I think I thought about just going to heaven. And I think I have a lot of expectations in my life. And that's probably why I feel hurt and rejected. And like people haven't been there for me. And God, I think I need to go deeper in your love. Who knows, that would be good for some of us to get in that place. Amen. So I tell people, look, if you're touchy, you'll be touched. It's just simple. That's not deep. You know, you got to go to seminary to get that one. If you're touchy, you'll be touched. Who knows, if Satan figures that out, right? He loves to find vulnerabilities and then just camp there. Man, wonder if we just get undone and get in Him, in the Christ. It's just really good. You know, Jesus said something powerful. He said, the prince of this air, the ruler of this earth comes. The ruler of this world comes. That's what He said. Where's that? John 14? The ruler of the world comes. And He has nothing in me. Isn't that powerful? Whoa. Shouldn't that be a Christian confession? Instead of being so devil conscious and, oh my God, oh my God. Man, He comes. We all know He's coming. But He has nothing in me. Is that presumption? Is that arrogance? What if you live that way? I'm not devil conscious. I don't live devil conscious. But if He gets exposed, we deal with Him by the Word of God, by truth, by the Holy Ghost power, right? I don't wake up even thinking about the devil. Wake up thinking Jesus. Some people wake up and pray and asking God to keep the devil at bay and stuff. They're devil conscious, God conscious. Wake up, thank You for loving me. Man, I just woke up, and it was today when I woke up. I remember waking up smiling. I said, Father, I just love You. I just love You, love You, love You. I was just feeling it. I just love You. It's just so good. I was laying in my bed flipping out. Like, I'm so glad to be alive and awake, and it's another day. Yay! That sure beats, oh, brother, here we go again. I got to deal with people. God forbid. Oh, man. Change us, Jesus, for Your glory. Watch this. He knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe. So, let me just make a quick comment about believing. You can say you believe all your life and what you believe, but here's the bottom line. And this is a pretty straight comment, but I like talking that way. I do it with a smile. I'm gracious, though. I'm okay, and I tell them, I'm pretty gracious, though. I can say this. Watch. Your life lived reveals what you believe. You can say what you believe all you want. The expression of your life is what you believe. Everything else is talk. Faith without works is dead. You know them by their fruit. That's not a harsh word. That's a fair word. We ought to talk like that in the church so we don't get shallow, religious, and deceived. It's not in your speech. Nicodemus didn't come by night and say to Jesus, nobody could say the things You say unless God's with him. He said, nobody could do the things You do.
Well,
actually, in some senses, talk is cheap, even though the Word of God is incredible, but just talk is cheap. We got to give our faith and our heart and our action to what we say we believe. What you believe is revealed through your life lived. So if your life lived isn't bearing the fruit of what you say you believe, it's a call to that secret place. It's not a call to rock your mind, to weep and wail and cry and, oh my God. It's a call to that secret place. Close the door, surrender to God. God, here I am. I realize my life. God, I say this, but I see this. God, I'm just here, and I just thank you for working in me. Your good pleasure, God, I surrender to you. Man, just lay back on your bed. Don't try to perform a thing. Just lay back and give yourself to him. God, I'm here, and I trust you. You said if I seek you here, you'll meet me here. You'll reward me in the open. You're changing my life just because I'm here with the door closed. It makes a spiritual statement that I care about my life, and I want my life in you. Right. Who sees God can work with that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's humble. Sometimes that's like stuff sounds too simple, like we think we got to produce something. No, it's God that produces. There's experiences I've been in that it's humanly impossible to respond the way I've responded. It's humanly impossible to stay the way I've stayed. The only reason is because I'm living out of my relationship with the Holy Ghost. Years ago, I was in a terrible accident, and there was a fellow from church, Bill Welch, lived right on the corner where the accident happened. And he'd come out of his house, and there I'm standing. I didn't know at the time how bad my face looked. I just knew there was blood. That's the one I told you about one time. Some of you know it. I didn't have my seatbelt on because I just didn't like a seatbelt. It wasn't that I was in rebellion. It just felt restraining, and I'd just rather not wear it. But yet they had passed the law. It's like, ooh, obey the laws of the land. And you got that conscience thing going, and I'm like, seatbelt. Ah. Now we're in this accident, and my head flew forward and whacked the steering wheel. It was a little thin pickup truck steering wheel, them hard ones. That baby creased my head big time. My finger went inside the thing, and blood was like a cobweb all down my face. So Bill comes out, and he sees me there, and I'm smiling, and I look up at him, and I got my kids, and I just busted out of the truck, because the truck was like crushed like an accordion, and I'm banging out of the truck, and I braced my kids, and you know how when you're in an accident, and you know people get like, oh my God, is everybody okay? Oh my God, is everybody okay? You know how it's just normal, you see it all the time. I had the paramedics so freaked out, they told him that I was driving the truck. Well, I had my face cleaned by then, and Jesus, out on the street, healed this thing. Because I asked for mercy. I said, I'll never not wear my seatbelt. I know it's not a works thing, but I'm letting you know. I get the message. I'm convicted. I realize if I'd had it on, and now I understand, I'll just wear it, God, but I need your mercy. I don't want emergency room trauma, my little kids being afraid, ambulances. I'm just asking for your mercy, that you just right now cover mercy over judgment, mercy come. And amen. I kept telling everybody, the policeman shined his light on my head and told me to sit down. I need immediate medical attention. And he thought I was in shock because of the way I was acting, and I was so okay. I ended up taking the policeman by the shoulders. You don't do that. I said, listen to me. Look at me, man. And he's looking at me. He just froze. And I said, you think I'm in shock, and you honestly don't appreciate the gospel that I'm preaching. But I'm telling you, my daughter's starting to fear because she's hearing the sirens that they're going to take her daddy away. And I need to go see her. And he had just told me to sit down and be quiet. I mean, he's busting me. And he said, sounds totally legitimate to me, sir. Just come back as soon as you can. Nice as a kitten. I said, thank you, sir. Took off running. You don't grab a policeman by the shoulders and turn him around. You don't. I wouldn't even think of doing that. I just did it. It just happened. If I'd have preconceived it, I'd probably got locked up. Yeah. Or the thing, you know. But the paramedics finally came in and said, we're looking for the driver of the pickup truck. And they said, he's right here. And I said, that's me, guys. Hey, thanks for coming. We're fine. Even that young man, it's amazing. He's fine. Praise God. And I said, because somebody could have, man, you saw the cars. And they're just looking at me. And they said, well, they said you're really injured, that you have a serious thing on your head. I said, no, it's just a little cut. I'm okay. That's what I said. The policeman, I kept saying, it's a little cut. He shined the light on my forehead and said, oh, it's just a little cut. Well, I had put my finger in there. It had blood all down. Bill said I looked like I was seriously wounded. When I wiped it off and prayed, it never bled anymore. And when I reached back up, it was just a little cut. So now I'm in the house crying because I know the Holy Ghost closed that thing in mercy. I had so much fun. The paramedic said, Bill looked, I got blood down my face, and I said, hey, man, I said, come here. I said, this guy, I said, I don't know where he went. I said, his car, it's just, man. He said, I think he ran down the street. He's pretty upset. And I said, but he's okay. He said, yeah. I said, well, we're fine, man. And we're there talking. He said, man, you don't look fine. I said, no, I'm fine. I said, our hearts are at peace. I said, come on, it's just a truck, man. Accidents happen. And I said, why don't we do this? Let's get the kids up to the house. And he's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So he got me all cleaned off. And he's just looking. But the paramedic looked at me and said, he just kept staring at me, the other one, the one that was talking to me. The other one's just staring at me. And I said, are you okay, man? What's going on? He said, I've never seen anything like this. I said, what? He said, you. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I've been to thousands of accidents. And this is a bad one. I've never seen anyone with your composure. It doesn't even make sense to me. You don't even seem like you were in an accident. And he could tell it wasn't a put on. You don't get in an accident and say, all right, that's right. People call me Pastor Dan. I preach the gospel. I've got to apply the truth. Apply the truth, Dan. Live the word, brother. And come on, set a good example for the church, brother. Okay. Kids, we okay? Praise the Lord. Who knows, that's not gonna work. You become the gospel. You live the gospel so when you get thrown in the fire, the gospel defends you. Or you get thrown in the fire and then you make a mad dash for the gospel and we wonder why we lose. I'm just talking truth. Okay? My buddy Bill gets me in the car. He's driving me home. Well, I grab my kids in the car. You know, I want to make a point. You know how we go, oh my God, is everything okay? Is everything? The Lord, you'll like this. The Lord really taught me what authority and subduing the earth means in a situation. I'm the daddy of my children, right? Right? So there's a spiritual authority and covering there. There's a power there when my kids are little and innocent. Who knows that being a good godly daddy, I can keep them in the Christ in a good way, right?
Right.
When that accident happened, the Holy Ghost overtook me. I was overtaken. I can't explain it. I wasn't conscious and thinking what I was doing. It was just a flow. The truck was still rolling. I could tell. But I didn't even have the wheel. I had my kids wrapped up tight. And I said, kids, it's okay. We were just in an accident. I said, it's okay. Accidents happen. Jesus is Lord. Watch what I said. That's why everybody's okay. I never even asked them the question. I never even opened the door for injury. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. The Holy Ghost talked me through that the next day. I laid on the bed and cried, and he showed me what was happening in that accident and that it was spirit-filled living. And that from my place of relationship, he was flowing through me, through the place of my surrender, my declaration, my confession. You get it?
Yes.
So I was thrown into the crunch and I didn't have to try to be anything. I didn't have to try to be a certain way, because if we were teaching that, we'd be so constrained and bound and condemned and failing and oh my, and comparing. Right? That would be shambles, a mess. Holy Ghost living. So watch what Bill says. So I said that to my kids, busted out of the truck and pulled them out. My daughter, I had this truck for 11 years. People in the church came and wanted to get me another truck. They were like, they were thinking, boy, you know, associate pastor, they sure ain't paying you much, buddy. Now look at the truck you drive. The drummer comes up. He's like, man, I know you know sacrifice and being a pastor ain't much salary and stuff, man. We just want to buy a new truck. You're driving that old truck. I said, get off my truck. I love my truck. Don't you dare buy me another truck. I died that thing 11 years. It's like my truck. And then it gets whacked, and then he comes and said, see, Jesus was tired of you driving that. Jesus is being funny. God didn't take the truck out. Hey, buddy. So, but anyway, we're driving home, and watch what Bill Welch so humbly did. He's driving in his car. He's taking me home, my Christian friend. And he's silent, and that's not Bill. Bill's not quiet. Bill's a fellowshipper, talker. He's boisterous. Do you know Bill Welch, Bill? Yeah. He's driving it, and he's silent, and he's staring straight ahead. Hi, little man. How are you doing? Oh, and he's real quiet, and this thought hit me like, come on. You going to let me hold you? This thought hit me like, oh, no. Bill's got this doctrine in him thinking, why'd this happen to Dan? Wonder what he's got open door in his life. I wonder what hidden sins in his life. I wonder what I just thought that was going through him, and he's sitting there thinking, I wonder what's the real deal with Dan, that this would happen. But some people are taught that.
A bad omen.
Yeah. Like, you know, you're reaping what you sow, da da da. Who knows, trials and troubles will come when you're on the earth. In him, you're in peace. In the world, trials and troubles, but in him, you're in peace. So to me, it was like I never had a car accident. Come on. He supersedes it. I got to bless a lady. She walked up to me and said, this is true. She walked up to me and said, sir, I understand. I can hear you're a very strong man of faith, and you have a strong love for God. But you were in a pretty serious wreck. Don't you think you should go to the hospital and at least get checked out? And I said, honey, I said, I'm okay. I said, bless you. And I put my hand on her cheek. You'll like this, Richard. She went, oh. And the Holy Ghost went, breathe right on her. And I said, now you understand. I said, because he's my God. And she's standing in the yard like, seriously, this is true. I'm not just making this up. I mean, God's here. She's like this. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And I just walked away from her. End of discussion. So it was like, now you know why I'm okay. So Bill's in the car, and I said, Bill, I said, man, I don't know what's going on in your heart, but you're pretty quiet. I said, I hope you're not thinking that thought like da da da. And he said, oh no, man, not at all, absolutely not. He said, I am so convicted right now. The boy that hit me was a young Spanish boy, had no business driving, he didn't even have license. He just jumped in a friend's car and took off somewhere and ran stop sign and crushed into me and my kids. Who knows, people take that stuff personal when your kids are in the car and somebody's breaking the law. And who knows, they war against flesh immediately. Revile against reviling. Everything that Jesus didn't do, we tend to react in, because that's the fall of man. Bill said, I am under such conviction, and I'm not saying this to you. You all know me enough now. Visitors, you just have to hear my heart. I'm not boasting on my Christian life. I'm showing you what's possible, because in me, that's impossible to do that. But Bill said, I've just experienced Holy Ghost living, and I'm convicted because I know what kind of man I'd have been if I'd have been in your vehicle and that happened to me and my kids. He said, it wouldn't have been the same scene. He said, I'd have been living at that before for one thing. And you know, some people are even mad at God, like, God, how, why'd you...